So welcome to Off Leash Podcast with Dr. Pete. I'm Dr. Pete, and we're so glad you've joined us for today's show. Remember, we're not here to say what you want us to say, but we're here to be an advocate for your pet.
And to treat the treatable and,
Treat the treatable
the
and
preventable.
Actually the other way around. Prevent the preventable so you don't have to treat the treatable.
That's right.
Yep.
So, for all of our Voyagers listening, we have a couple topics to go over today. But before we do, anything going on in your world?
Well, we always talk about things, old dogs, new tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
any news, though? Any news you want to talk about? Anything you've experienced?
Not really. Not really. Nothing I can experience. Nothing I can tell you really about, but other than we're kind of the new stuff we've kind of learned is we've been talking a little bit about kennel cough and stuff. And kennel cough is kind of a broad range of things. It kind of refers to Bordetella, Mycoplasma, adenovirus, parainfluenza. There's about 11 things that cause quote unquote kennel cough. And I mostly think that, it's not important which one it is, because if they're viral, they just have to sort of run their gambit. We just need to make sure that dogs don't get pneumonia from having had kennel cough. So we always try to, encourage our clients, especially, people don't think about this. They go to the groomers or they go to doggy daycare, especially if you got a young dog. We're talking about a 4 or 5 month old dog. They're immunologically naive, and then when they get this cough, they can be kind of miserable. So we happen to use the oral Bordetella vaccine. We also use injectable. Depends on really what clients want. We usually give them a choice, one or the other, and I think they both work fairly well.
Yeah,
but we do see kennel cough, and the minute we quit vaccinating for kennel cough, it comes back. And we've had a couple of years in the past where it was really, really miserable. And some of these places, these boarding kennels, just were ready to tear their hair off because he had, quote unquote, kennel cough.
I didn't realize how contagious kennel cough can be. My dog got it when Ben and I knew each other in college. Yep. And all of his friends had dogs. All of my friends had dogs. So I think I stopped over at his house for a minute, and one of his roommate's girlfriends had a dog there with kennel cough. And I don't even think Sage was in contact with this dog, but still got it.
Sure. Well, it's airborne. So, that's the thing. And sometimes what we notice is that your dog will be around another dog and the other dog's asymptomatic.
Yeah.
We used to see that a little bit. We used to laugh about this. You see a nurse, and the nurse is never sick, but her husband is the most sickly person in the world. Because
she's asymptomatic.
Well, she's asymptomatic. She comes in contact with stuff. So she's always, in a hospital situation and exposed to a lot of bugs. And then really what happens is she gets these bugs and replicates them and, gets it, doesn't really get sick, but replicates and sheds the virus. And she goes home and kisses her husband goodnight. And he's got the stuff for 6 days next week. And, he doesn't know where the hell he got it. And he's like, oh, where'd I get this? I haven't been anyplace. And his wife gave it to him. She's like, I don't know where you got it, sweetheart. And she's actually where he got it. So you see, especially if he's an at-home dude, kind of doing an accounting job there, or, maybe he's been working for home for a long time now. So you see that, and then they get these things and can't figure out where they got them. But
right.
Then, yeah. Yeah, I think I've talked about this before. and actually, pretty good vaccine program is where you can go out to Walmart and lick the shopping cart handles that's a joke. I'm just kidding, but you get the idea.
If anybody's been to our Walmarts up here, they're sketchy.
Well, I think there's just a lot of people going in and out of there. I'm not going to make any comment about how sketchy they are, how sketchy they're not. But nonetheless, there's a lot of people there.
I'll make comments.
Yeah, I know you will. But there's a lot of stuff that gets carried by people. And so if you lick the handles on the shopping carts, you're liable to not get very much bad stuff for a long period of time. That's your vaccine program.
I'd rather go into Meijer's and lick the shopping cart than at Walmart.
Sure.
Well, they're probably a lot cleaner.
I'm not sure everybody knows who Meijer's is.
Oh, yeah. It's a Midwest thing.
It is a Midwest thing. That's right. Yep.
The uppity grocery stores up here.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, Do you want to go into old dog's new tricks?
Well, that was old dog new tricks. Oh. I mean, that's what. So we're still developing these vaccines, and you know, we had this thing go through where people talked about all the respiratory stuff, and at the end of the day, I think everybody thinks that there isn't some new respiratory bug. There's just old respiratory bugs that sometimes are more problematic or more virulent than the previous ones. And so I guess that's what you need to know. I mean, usually these dogs kind of have kind of a honk, you know, because I'll tell that to clients. I said, well, lots of times the dog's not coughing in the office. I said, well, what kind of cough is this? And I said, is it a honk? And they're like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a honk. So as you put them on a cough suppressant, and doxycycline is my favorite drug for that. You can use all sorts of stuff, Augmentin, Clavamox, whatever. Doxycycline, minocycline, they all work pretty good for those sorts of things. You're just trying to prevent them from getting pneumonia, a really bad pneumonia. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well,
so that's the old dog new trick deal.
Going into Canine Chronicles, news in the dog world.
Oh,
got
you know,
anything you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we're working on new drugs all the time. We think we talked a little bit about this. You know, we're starting to see some of these hookworm dogs that have hookworms, you know, and the hookworms are starting to become resistant. You know, we've had pretty good luck with the stuff we've used for in the past. You know, when I was a young veterinarian, I mean, they changed those drugs about every 2 years because they became resistant to them. Although the ones we've been using now with Panacure and ivermectin and parental pamoate, those have all still worked fairly well, but recently there's been a hookworm that showed up on the radar. Most people think these came from some of the dog tracks from greyhounds and stuff, and so I don't know how much of a problem this is going to be, but I can tell you this much. When I was a kid, I can remember specifically we had a number of beagle breeders that couldn't control their hookworms and that sort of stuff, and those dogs would come in pale as the devil, and they were being bled to death by these hookworms.
Oh.
Yeah, so we don't see that sort of nonsense anymore, but it's not to say we won't someday.
Yeah.
So just be glad that what we have, and, you know, like right now, currently, excuse me, most of our heartworm preventatives have a anthelmintic in it for the hookworms and roundworms,
yeah,
and sometimes the whipworm. So we are addressing that on a regular basis, and so it never seems to get too far ahead of us anymore like it did at one time. But yeah, the female dog, the female, and a lot of times these were, seemed like there was a lot of beagles that got this. And the beagles, my word, the mothers wouldn't be too bad, but they'd be loaded with hookworms and they gave them to the puppies. And the puppies just couldn't make the hookworm, or they couldn't make the red cells fast enough to satisfy all the hookworms they had on board. They had these really black, tarry stools and everything.
Would they pass away from hookworm?
Yeah, they could die from that. But usually you dewormed them, try to get rid of as many hookworms as you could, and you put them on an iron supplement, and they pop back.
I know a lot of people out there, and I see it all the time, especially on Facebook, from the dog food page, arguing about vaccinating puppies, if it's a good thing or not a good thing. I see that as constantly a continuous argument.
It's always a good thing. Always be a good thing. I just talked to somebody in shoulder medicine because they're having problems, and I think they're going to solve most of their problems by going to vaccinate every 2 weeks instead of every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So you were born when you nursed, you got antibodies from whatever your mother had had the previous 2 years, and so you were going to be resistant to getting that disease or those diseases for the first couple of years. That's called maternal immunity. It kind of wears off after a while. Maternal immunity wears off. We don't know when it's going to wear off. Same way with the house. If we knew when it was going to burn down, we'd just insure it that day. But we don't know when it's going to wear off. And so that's what we do. We vaccinate every year or every 3 years, depending upon the dog, depending upon the disease. Distemper and parvo, once you get past a year or two, you can probably do it every 3 years. Lepto and Lyme, Bordetella, you got to do every single year. It's those are bacterial things, Bactrins. You know, the vaccines confer immunity to those dogs, but the immunity doesn't last as long. So we have to go through there. There was this thing that was fashionable one time to kind of check your titers and see where your titers were so you didn't have to vaccinate your dog. But, you know, I don't think people do that much anymore. They do some of it. But, you know, I think people were worried that we were over-vaccinating dogs. I think we got a lot of diseases to vaccinate for, and I think we should vaccinate for the things that are likely to occur.
Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest resistance against the vaccinations are that people are against big pharma.
Yeah. Well, so listen, I've been in tight spots in my profession, parvo, distemper. Hey, listen, when I got out of school, we saw a distemper every week. Every month we saw a distemper. And guess what? Parvo came along and distemper went away because the unvaccinated dogs would die before they got distemper. So we don't see much distemper anymore. It's really kind of very, very infrequent.
Just because of vaccination.
Yeah, vaccines. We vaccinate our way out of it. Every once in a while, you'll see it occur. They had somebody, they had an outbreak in New York City not long ago. And what was going on there, they were mixing up, in some of the shows, they were mixing up the vaccine at 7 o'clock in the morning and then giving it through the day. Well, lo and behold, they didn't understand that once the vaccine was drawn up, the distemper vaccine was only good for about an hour.
Right.
So if they vaccinated dog before 8 o'clock, they were fine. If they vaccinated after 8 o'clock, they weren't so fine. Maybe 9 o'clock, maybe they got some immunity. But then they have these big distemper outbreaks, and they couldn't understand. They thought, I was like, oh, our dogs are all vaccinated. It must be a new disease. No, it wasn't a new disease. It was a disease that people kind of created by not using their vaccine in a timely fashion after it was drawn up. You have usually a diluent with a desiccant, like a little cake, and then you mix it. And once you mix it, you got about an hour to use it.
Can you vaccinate against parvo?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what.
But it doesn't always, it's not 100% effective.
It's pretty close to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's only not effective if you did it when the puppy was 5 weeks old and then didn't do it again. I'd almost guarantee your dog was going to get that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right. You want to do some rock and roll history today?
Sure. I thought maybe we'd talk about, we've talked about Michigan artists. So let's talk about Tommy James and the Shondells. They were from Niles, Michigan, and they came out in the early 60s. They were from, just about an hour and 15 minutes away from where we sit right now. And in fact, one of my classmates was in a band, an all-girl band, and they opened up for Tommy James at one time down in Niles, Michigan. So his big song was Hanky Panky.
Yeah.
And so he's doing Hanky Panky. And they record it. They said it was a big hit. It was a real big hit at some of their things, like, when they'd be playing at a roller rink or at a school or something like that. And so they thought, well, this is a big hit. We'll record this, and it'll be a big deal. So they recorded it, and they put it out there, and nothing, just died. So they thought, well, guess that's not going to be our thing. We're not going to be famous musicians. So Tommy James and the Shondells, they kind of broke up. And Tommy James went, I don't know, he had a job someplace. And lo and behold, that record found its way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And they used to do a thing called Make It or Break It. And so they thought, well, we'll just play Make It or Break It. And Tommy James and the Shondells, Hanky Panky, that'll be the song versus some other song. And so they did that. And Hanky Panky was very popular, and it lasted for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks before they got to break it. So it would show up every night, and then somebody across town did the same thing. So in Pittsburgh, it was a big deal. So they found this. They found the it was one of those demo acetates, and they said, well, let's call this Tommy James, and we can give him at a rock and roll show here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, called Tommy James. They finally found where he lived and everything, and by that time, Tommy James's bandmates had all gone their ways, and two or three of them were in the Army or something. That was back in the beginning of Vietnam and stuff. Anyway, Tommy James went to Pittsburgh, but he had to find a band when he got there to play Hanky Panky. And I always thought that was pretty funny that he didn't have anybody to play Hanky Panky for him. So, and then, of course, he got involved in a record deal, and the guy he got involved with was with the Mob, and so that didn't turn out well, but he had great songs, Crystal Blue Persuasion, I Think We're Alone Now, you know, some very memorable stuff.
You want me to play some Hanky Panky?
Yeah, play a little Hanky Panky. Okay, I'm sure everybody knows what this is now. We've heard this song, but I said people thought that was a fun song to dance to, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and by the time he got to Pittsburgh, he was like blown away that everybody knew the words. And I saw him walking down the line. And so he had a big kick out of it. And it kind of is, of course, Pittsburgh's fairly near Philadelphia. And it's sort of one of the meccas of rock and roll back in the 50s and 60s. So that's how we got going.
Did you go to a lot of concerts when you were
We went to some. And, of course, they weren't expensive to go to. $3 got you just about in anything. In fact, you could go to Shea Stadium and see the Beatles for $4. $4. Oh, wow. Nowadays, Taylor Swift's getting a lot more for her concerts than $4.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a Taylor Swift concert goes for like $1,000 now.
Yep. But anyway,
take out a small loan.
Yeah, you got to take a remortgage the house to go. But back in the day, you and four friends could go see the Beatles for $20 at Shea Stadium.
Wow.
Yep. Anyway, it wasn't very good quality. They had little amps. They don't have the great big. They don't have that great big.
Well, it's out in Vegas. Have you seen the Spear?
Nope.
It's this totally virtualized, like, enclosed concert that has like crazy visual effects. I'll have to show you afterwards.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on the all the bells and whistles. Anyway, Tommy James and the Shondells.
That's great. All right, getting into our main segment of information and peace of mind. I actually had something that I wanted to ask. The next breed of dog that I really want to own is a Dachshund.
A dachshund. Dachshund.
Why do they have so many names?
So we had a kennel one time before you were born, and the name of it was that the woman had for it. We called it Harper Creek Kennels, but her name for it was Dachshund House. In other words, it's German for the hound house. The hound house. Dachshund House. But that's where dachshund comes from. And dachshunds, you know, when I first got out of school, they were kind of a mean, they were kind of mean little shit sometimes.
Well, they're bred to hunt badgers.
Yeah.
And dig.
And they were tough little guys. You know, but recently they've become extremely nice. You know, every once in a while I get one that's a little gnarly, but really, for the most part, they're really nice dogs.
So looking online at these dogs, it's either one or the other. You can buy one for $100 to $600, and it's like shipped anywhere in the world to you, or a puppy's $3,000, and you have to go through this extensive interview process to get one.
Sure.
You got to fill out an hour-long informational thing. They have to see your house. You have to list all the information that you know about dachshunds, medical history. Why is that? Why is it that either it's like so easy to get a dog, or it's you have to jump through a million hoops?
Well, some people are willing to pay $3,000. Some people only have $250 or $300 to pay for one. So, So you kind of figure out who gets the one dog and who gets the other dog. Although they can be very nice dogs, very good representations of their breed. You know, the thing I have the biggest problem with is they have some back issues.
Yeah.
So people who allow them to jump on and off their furniture, it's a real issue.
So if you were to go through one or the other, would you go through the more reputable breeder that breeds through trial and error and does all these health tests on them, or just a dachshund?
Well, generally you get the best when you breed the best of the best, okay? Yeah. So when you breed the best of the best, when you breed the rest of the rest, you usually get the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is going to sound nonsensical. Although you could get the best by breeding the rest of the rest, or you could get the rest by breeding the best of the best. So you could get a...
So it's just a gamble.
Yeah, you could get the old maid by putting two really nice dogs together and having a puppy that has all sorts of problems, and vice versa. Yeah. You could have two not well-bred dogs and have something that you should have taken to the dog show in New York City. So I can't tell you. I mean, that's just my experience. My biggest concern with these guys is people like to spoil them, and they sometimes get bad teeth, and they get heavy. And when they get heavy,
I've seen very many fat dachshunds.
Yeah. And then when they jump off of stuff, they hurt their back, and some of them actually become paralyzed. And sometimes when you see them running around these carts, so people got to stop and think about that. You know, the dog is so heavy it can't get on the couch, so you lift it up and put it on the couch. Okay. Well, then you go out to make yourself a grilled cheese sandwich or whatever you're going out to the kitchen for, and then the dog jumps off the couch. It jumped off when it was 1 year of age. It jumped off when it was 2 years of age. About 4 years of age, the disc in between their vertebrae and their back start to kind of dry out and do a few things, so you can see some problems with that.
At four?
Yeah, at four
so
years
early.
Of age. Yep, you can start to
have... Because they live till they're like 16.
Yeah, they'll live to 16, but they'll start to have back problems if they're allowed to do stuff. And clients come in and they'll ask me, they say, well, why did this happen? I said, well, look at the color of my hair. It's white, isn't it? Yep. I said, so I'm old, right? Yep. when I said I can go upstairs to this veterinary clinic and I can get a screwdriver and get the screen off the door, and I said I can walk out on the roof and jump down and go home. Yeah, probably not a very good idea. I said no, and in a week or 10 days I'm in a wheelchair, and I think, you know, as much as I'd like to get a little sympathy from you, I think probably the you two would look at me and go, you dumb bastard, you shouldn't have jumped off the roof all those times. And I'd have to look at you and say, yeah, you're right. But I guess we don't think about that. And then when they hit with their front feet. And then that runs all that weight right through their back. Mm-hmm. And that disc bulges and bulges and bulges and bulges. And then all of a sudden, boom.
So say they do that. Did you, anything to fix it?
Well, you got to take them to a neurosurgeon. I mean, first thing we do, if we know they've hurt their back, I usually put them on cage rest and I give them a nice big fat injection of dexamethasone, which is a steroid. And that takes care of an awful lot of them. And I'll put them on a little gabapentin. You know, the problem with doing all these things is it makes them better. Well, that's a good thing. The bad thing is it makes them better. So then they think they can get away with doing stuff again. So my dog I had when I first got out of school was a little mixed breed white dog named Bandit. And he ended up rupturing his back and had to have his disfenstrated by Dr. Flo at Michigan State University. Mm. And he came home and he did pretty good.
What about acupuncture?
Well, we didn't do that back then, but, you know, you got real disease here. You know, you got a disc impinging upon the spinal cord. Now, it's like a closed head injury. You know, it's like if somebody tunks you in the head with a tack hammer, mm-hmm. you could end up with a bleed and die. Okay? So right. Wouldn't suggest you let anybody do that. But that's a closed, there's a bleed that occurs and there's no place for the blood to go.
Right.
So it puts pressure on your brain. Same thing happens in your back. You get all that pressure and it can just turn that, you can turn that spinal cord into just mush.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen. So you've got to get these dogs into the veterinarian's office. And I think the number one thing people say, well, it's kind of weird. You know, he's not very happy today and he won't go up and down the stairs. I said, he won't go up or down your stairs. Nope, he won't go up and down the stairs. That's almost classic back problems, almost always. And you know what? That's the warning shot. When this happens, that's the warning shot. So I take my clients in the room. It's like, okay, do you want this dog in one of these carts or not? No, hell no. We don't want our dog in a cart. Because you're going to have to, when he gets in the cart, you're going to have to express his bladder and he's going to be pooping in the house because he can't control his bowels and yada, 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 yada. Well, no, we don't want that to happen. So don't put him on the couch. Really? You can't even... No, that's what I told you. Don't put him on the couch. He sleeps on our bed. Does he ever get off in the middle of the night? Yeah, he gets off in the middle of the night. Don't put him on your bed. Well, he always sleeps on our bed. No, not anymore. You get a bed.
What about the stairs? Can't you buy him the stairs to get down?
Well, they won't go down the stairs. They go up the stairs and jump off the bed.
Oh.
Just like I walked in the back door, walked up the stairs, took the screen off, got out on the roof, jumped off.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't jump on the roof. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't jump on the roof. And that's kind of what happens with these guys. They can't get on. So, yeah, we get them stairs so they can get up to where they shouldn't be able to go. I think once they hurt their back the first time, lots of times they're not as athletic afterwards and they don't get up on stuff.
Okay.
And that's perfect. But you got to go get them a dog bed and they sleep next to you at night on the floor.
So owning a Dachshund, is it not a matter of if but when?
Well, I think they almost all have back problems, but the really fat ones have really bad back problems.
So that's not what I'm saying, though. If I get a Dachshund, is it inevitable that at some point it's going to have back problems?
No, it's not inevitable, but if this was Las Vegas, the odds, you know.
The odds would be against me.
I'd bet on the disc displacing themselves at some point in time. Because, you know, they just do that. I mean, we have a little dog at home, Bella. She used to be on the bed and jump. Somebody drive in, she'd jump all the way off of me, you know, like 3 feet high, just jump off. And and now she can't get around very well anymore.
Yeah.
She gets around, but I can guarantee
she hobbles.
Yeah, her back is a mess.
Yep. Yeah.
I had this discussion with your mother, but it didn't go very far.
No, nope. I can't imagine.
Nope. but anyway, and we don't see it very much with big dogs. Just for the record, I don't see much of it in labs, or I don't see much of it in... You know, I had one Doberman one time we put to sleep because he had a really bad back. But this tends to be like the 30-pound dog or under.
Okay.
The 25-pound dog or under, the 32-pound dog or under.
Do you ever see it in Chihuahuas?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, well, they get...
I feel like they're so nimble.
They get chubby, man. Well, when you get chubby, you're not nimble anymore. They jump off, they get their little itty-bitty legs. And you can see, and that's what people say, well, he's not... In fact, they always tell me this little chihuahua used to weigh 6 pounds, now weighs 13 pounds. And they say, well, he's not fat. And I'm like, well, you know, for $100, we'll take an x-ray and I'll show you that he's fat. They don't want to spend $100. Finally, we agree. They shake their head. Yes, he's fat.
Is that hard to tell people that their dog's fat?
Not really. I'm acting as advocate for the dog. That's what I'm hired to do.
Do you ever get people that get offended?
Yeah, I know that sometimes there are people going to be offended, so I used to call them corpulent.
And then people would have to research.
But now they get their phone, so the minute I walk out the room, they look up corpulent, and then when I come in, they get this scowl on their face. My dog's corpulent? Yes. Your dog's corpulent. So
I feel like most people don't know that their dog's corpulent.
Yeah, well, and lots of times I got to tell me, listen, do you want a dog or you want this dog? The Purina Dog Food Company did a study that fat labs die almost 2 years prior to when a skinny lab will die.
Well, your wife is the perfect example of this.
Well, listen, when we talk about fat dogs, our dogs aren't really fat.
They're
chunky. They're chunky, yep.
But yeah. I'll leave a dog with her, and within 3 months, I'll come back, and that dog's gained 5 to 10 pounds.
Yep.
And she will not admit that they gained weight.
So your mother's what we call a nurturer in the business. So what happens is the kids leave the house, so there's nothing to nurture. I'm not worth nurturing, and or not worthy of nurturing, but she has to nurture something. So it could be our cat, or it could be, and she didn't want to nurture the cats. For some reason, we have a fat cat, and she only feeds that because it screams at her to be fed, you know. And we got the kind of cat that's food's such a big deal that you could wake up in the middle of the night with a steak knife stuck in you because the cat was unhappy that didn't get what it wanted
Reuben.
To eat. Yeah, Reuben. Yeah.
Reuben will just jump on the table and just take food off your plate.
Yep. He gets on there. The minute you start eating, he gets up someplace near you. And then gets a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. You don't want to get up and leave because he'll get it. Yep.
So anybody that doesn't know, she tried to give me this cat as a gift when I was in college, because I wanted a pet up in college. And so I don't even know where you guys got this cat. Found it somewhere.
I got it from somebody, and actually we kind of enjoyed him. Believe it or not, he's got more personality than
I hated him.
I know.
He would just jump up and have no regard whatsoever of personal space and just yank food right out of your hand.
Yep. That's right.
I don't know how you deal with it.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people like having a cat like that. They'll go buy themselves a maid outfit and wait on that cat hand and foot. So,
yeah.
Got a lot of people to do that. And those cats, listen, I don't see them having back problems like we see dogs. So they'll jump
I'm shocked the cats don't have Reuben's back problems.
Reuben's really a fat bastard, and he is. You know, and he'll jump off, and if you're downstairs, I got workout equipment downstairs, and I can hear when he hits the floor when he jumps off the couch or whatever and hits the floor. It's kaboom!
Mm-hmm.
And
how much does he weigh?
Oh, I don't know. He's probably 20 pounds, something like
that.
He's
a big cat.
He's a big cat, and he likes his food.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember when he ate your sandwich wrap.
Yeah, deal. I had a Schlotzky's wrap and. I walked over to do something, and he pulled it off our island, and he was tugging it on his way to the living room with it.
Yeah, and it all unraveled.
Yeah, that son of a. Yeah.
He is something else.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm shocked that cats don't have a lot of back problems.
They don't, and they will get arthritis, and I have to tell you, they get arthritis, and he might get and he's fat enough to when he jumps down he might start to get arthritis in his shoulders and elbows because he jumps off like that.
Is it harder to take weight off of a dog or a cat?
It's much harder. You know, listen, I tell clients you need to put your cat on a diet, and I'm like, it's going to be expensive. And they're like, why is the food expensive? And I'm like, no, the studio apartment you're going to live in while your cat's on a diet is going to be expensive. And so so you go live someplace else while your cat's on a diet, and then I think it's down to the right weight, which would be about 3 months down the road, you can move back in the house.
Cats are very vocal when they need food. Yeah. Dogs really aren't.
Snap their fingers, tell you, get over here, Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And sometimes they'll get sort of indignant about it and urinate around the house or do that. I've never had that problem with him so far, but he sometimes gets unhappy about what the social arrangement there is if we have another cat in the house or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, they don't get it like your dachshunds. I mean, they're really the poster children for bad backs. Poodles get bad backs. Chihuahuas get bad backs.
Miniature poodles or poodles?
Miniature poodles. Okay. Not the standards. The miniature poodles will get bad backs.
I was going to say.
I don't think I hardly ever see a bad back in a, you know, I might have a Labrador or something like that that maybe is in a car wreck or something like that, and they have a sore back from being in the car wreck. But generally, generally they don't have that sort of thing going on. And so then the really big question amongst veterinarians is, what do you use on non-steroidals? Or steroids. And in my world, steroids work better than anything. And there's some other stuff you can give too, gabapentin. You know, there's some muscle relaxers. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. And that's the problem. There's all sorts of things you can do to make them feel better. But then once they feel better, they still have to be kept. In fact, I lots of times I'll tell people, why don't you put your dog in a cage and for how long? For all day. And they said, well, I can't have him in there all day. And they said, well, if you have a padlock, you can have him in there all day. Mm-hmm. You know, you just put the padlock on it, and then you take the padlock off, take him outside, and walk him around, let him do his job, and put him back in the thing, and do that for 7 to 10 days until you're sure you're not going to have a problem. Because the ones that become paralyzed, you know, the people are like, yeah, you were right. You know, and I always like being right, but not on those days. No. And I don't feel very good on those days. And it's always kind of depressing because that pet is a big part of their family, and now it's only got basically two legs.
Right.
The front ones.
So, anything else I need to know before getting a dachshund?
No, I mean, it's like getting married. You see the parents, and you should meet the parents. And
see what they're going to look
you
like?
You should meet the parents, yeah.
See, that's the other sketchy thing is I've reached out to a few dachshund kennels, dachshund kennels.
Dachshund, yes.
Dachshund. And they won't let me see the parents.
Yeah, I don't know why that. If you can't see the parents, you shouldn't get married.
Yeah.
Yep. Because if the mother's a complete nut job, the daughter will be a complete nut job too.
Yeah. Did that stop you?
No, not really. I do know how to put her in check. I just refer to her by her mother's name, and that usually gets me.
That pisses her off.
Well, it gets me cold cereal for a couple of days, but you know, but I got a lot of Cheerios there. I can do it two or three times a day for a half a week or something
like that. Sleep on the couch for the week.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, it's not pleasant. That's the nice thing I have about having a big house. We got three stories, upstairs, a downstairs, and a basement. So
you have multiple couches.
Yeah, so we have multiple couches. I can go to a neutral, like in a hockey game when you're having a fight, they put you in neutral corners.
Yeah.
Yep. So, any other questions about and dachshunds need to have their teeth cleaned. So you need to do so with them, you'll have to do the teeth thing.
Okay, here's another thing. I've heard that the long-haired ones are nicer than the short-haired ones.
I don't think so. They can all be nice or they can all be mean. But okay. I think the vast majority of now are reasonably pleasant.
Miniature versus large size?
I don't know. I can't, you know, the miniatures turn into big ones because people feed them too much. But yeah, I don't know that I have an opinion one way or the other about it. But they do have a long back, and that can be problematic.
I just want a dog to travel with when I go to all these trade shows. Yep. And labs are fine to travel with. They're just big.
Yep.
And anybody that's seen me at a trade show, I always put my place boards out front, and we have the dogs on them. And it's a nice little conversation starter. A lot of people come over, and they want to pet the dogs.
My first dog was Bandit, and I've talked about him a little bit on the show before. My second dog was Buddy.
Buddy and used to go into work with you every day.
Yeah, well, they both went into work with me every day. Every single day they went to work with me.
I didn't know that Bandit did.
Yep. And we even used to go on oil color tours on Friday night after work, and he'd go with us on those. And I won't elaborate on those any more than to tell you they were just little tiny color tours that sometimes were held in the middle of the winter. But nonetheless, you know, he would go, and he had a blanket in the truck, in the veterinary truck, and he'd all curl up in there. Every once in a while he'd come in a restaurant or a bar or something.
Bandit or Buddy?
Bandit.
Buddy was mean as hell.
Well, I don't know that he was
Buddy
mean as hell.
Buddy only liked you.
Well, and he liked all the ladies at work because he had them wrapped around their finger. The rest of the family he didn't have wrapped around the finger. Bandit was really...
Bandit was a sweet dog.
Yeah, he's a fun dog. Yep, he's a lot of fun.
I just remember Buddy growing up. I'd try to pet that dog and he would bite.
Well, if sometimes when he got old, he was sleeping and stuff, you scared him.
Yeah.
Reach around, snap at you.
What kind of dog was he?
Who knows? He was, you know, he was, the one nice thing about him was kind of wire-haired, so he didn't shed much.
Yeah. Do dachshunds shed a lot?
The short ones will. They'll shed a lot, yeah. And I think as a rule, you know, Airedales and those kind of dogs. We had Cookie. Cookie didn't shed much. Mm-hmm. If you get an Airedale, they don't shed much. Buddy was kind of an oily dog. You know, he was always kind of stinky because he had a lot of sebaceous material, but he did fine.
Yeah.
He was a good dog.
Well, you ready to wrap it up for our last segment? Label-wise.
Oh, label-wise. That's right.
All right. This one's going to be...
By the way, you know, the last time we talked about it, I thought about that after I left here. I couldn't believe they put so many ingredients in a treat.
Yeah.
Why they had... I mean, they must have thought that the... And I hate to say that some of the treat manufacturers are doing this for the people reading the labels, because that was way too much stuff to have in a treat. I mean, it was like, you know, it's like having a hamburger with a hot dog on it and bacon and Canadian bacon and bologna.
Sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a hamburger, ma'am.
I have a special treat today that you're going to be reviewing.
What is that? Tell me.
I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
The first ingredient, brown rice.
Fine.
Apple.
Fine.
Banana.
Fine.
Carrot.
Yep.
Oatmeal.
Yep.
Pea flour.
Yep.
Peanut butter.
Yep.
Dried molasses.
Yep, it's great.
Canola.
Yep.
Flaxseed.
Yep.
Natural flavor.
Fine.
Tocopherols.
Yep.
And cinnamon.
That's good.
You like this treat?
Yeah.
You'd approve of this treat?
Yeah, I would approve of this treat.
Okay, I don't know if you know this or not.
I know,
but
I think this is going to be our treat.
This is our treat releasing.
And we didn't put any whey or any, you know.
Well, it's very limited ingredient.
Yeah.
So I figured that this would be a good time.
Yeah, there's really not any animal protein in there, but there's peanut protein in there.
Yeah.
And there's a little pea protein
in there. So I figured this would be a good idea to tell the Voyagers that are listening about our new treat release.
Because we get questions from people, do we have treats? Do we have treats? And we always had to say, nope, we don't have treats. You know, I've always been a big apple, banana, and carrot guy. And because when I open an apple, I know there's just apple in there. When I open a carrot, there's just carrot. And when I open anything, a cucumber, there's just cucumber there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so Mother Nature has the perfect treats. But we make treats, but we make them ethically. And if we say that's what's in there, that's what's in there.
Exactly. So if any of you listeners are interested in buying Voyager treats, or as we're calling them, the ABC treats, because apples, bananas, and carrots, you can go onto our website, voyagerdogfoodco.com, and look out for them to be released. And if you need any more information, we're also posting on Instagram when we're going to release them, and Facebook. So go check out all of our social media pages.
You're going to do that. I'm going to be watching Leave It to Beaver. So that's okay.
He's not the social media guy.
I'm doing social media. I enjoy doing it, but I don't go. I'm like somebody who's in the movies. I hardly ever go see my own movie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and we're also releasing, we went and filmed today some podcast, or I'm sorry, not podcast. We filmed some Instagram material of Dr. Pete at the vet office. So if you want to see him live with clients doing interactions, you had some interesting ones today.
Yep. That's fun. I like, that's my favorite thing to do is to be with clients and their pets. I mean, to me, it's a lot more fun. I hate the record keeping part of stuff, you know, and I hate the pill counting and I hate all the other stuff. I just want to look at stuff, figure it out, and tell them what I want to do.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you can check that out on our social media. Anybody that does not know, our Instagram account is Voyager Dog Food Co. Same thing with our Facebook. Go give us a like and a follow. And that's all I got for you today.
It is. Okay. Well, we'll do the outro music now. It's one of my favorite songs. Hey, we sure appreciate you guys listening along with us today. And we hope you've been able to share some of the information that will help you love your animals as much as they love you. Don't forget, always treat the treatable and prevent the preventable. We'll catch you at the next podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.